Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bible to Luke chapter number 19 tonight. Luke chapter number 19. I've been praying about exactly where we would start off in a new series, and Lord kind of spoke to my heart about looking at some different things right now as we're leading up to Easter or Resurrection Sunday, and just looking at some different things that happened before then. And so I probably have about five more services that I'm going to be preaching five or six services leading up to Easter. So many of those services are going to take some time looking at things that happen around the cross, happen at the tomb, things like that, some of the different characteristics and things that happened. And the Lord brought me to this spot in Luke chapter number 19. Title of our Easter program this year is Why He Came. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about tonight. Title of tonight's message is To Seek and to Save. I did not mention, I think Victory still has revival tomorrow night. Is that right? Is it all the way to Thursday night? So I've heard some good things about it. I had the opportunity to go up to the mission conference at Emmanuel and see Brother Barnhouse last night, and it was a good job. And next week, they're also having revival at Harmony Baptist Church in Camden with the same guy that's preaching this week at Victory. I think his name is Tim Thompson, and also Elizabeth City Baptist Church is having Jeff Fugate on Monday and Tuesday night next week. So if you're looking for something good to go to, I would encourage you to go to either one of those or even tomorrow night's service over at Victory. So Luke chapter number 19, story of Zacchaeus. That's a pretty familiar story, but there's a lot of powerful truths in this. And I think about, why did Jesus come? And, you know, so many people had so many different reasons, so many different thoughts about why Jesus came. And I know we have, for the most part, most of us would say, yeah, I know why he came. He came to die for the sins of mankind. And great, wonderful, you got that part figured out. But back then, they thought he was going to establish his physical kingdom. The Jews were looking for a Messiah, not for their spiritual needs, but instead for their physical needs. And you say, well, that's obvious, Pastor. Well, then, how about us today? You know, what are we here for? Are we here for the spiritual things that God's called us to do? Or are we looking for God to bless us physically more than we are spiritually? So tonight, when we look at this, to seek and to save, I want you to think about some things. I think this could be an encouragement and help to you. I think we're just going to read the story. Then we're going to begin the parable also. I'm going to look at a couple different points. And I think it can be an encouragement and help. Let's go ahead and just jump in verse number one. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. So I read that verse, and it seems pretty simple, but it reminds us Jesus is on a mission. Jesus had a purpose for everything. He had just healed blind Bartimaeus. If you look in the stories behind above that in Luke, he had just healed the blind man, and then he's coming through, and he's going through Jericho. It seems like it's kind of out of his way to go to Jericho. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's on the way to die for the sins of mankind, and he passes through. He's just there for a little while, and he helps the people that are there. The blind man needed help. Zacchaeus needed help, and I believe Jesus is able and willing to help all those that are interested in receiving that help he has to offer. You say, what's the big deal about that? Well, you think about it, he's just passing through. But you think about, why did Christ come? He's just passing through in this world. He left the glories of heaven. He's always been. So this 33 years is a short trip for him. This is not something that's got to... So he's just passing through in this world. He has a purpose. He has a reason. He has something that he's doing. We were born to live here, and we were born to live here. I'm hoping I live for a long time. As long as I'm healthy and as long as I can do things for the Lord, then that's great and wonderful. However long he wants to keep me here, that's fine. Whenever he wants to take me home, that's his choice. And whenever he wants to come back, we're looking forward to that. But Jesus was just passing through. And I want to encourage you that when you became a believer, this is no longer your home. You're just passing through. And sometimes when we're just passing through, we don't hold on to things. We instead say, okay, this is just part of the journey. When we're traveling from one spot to another spot, when we went from here all the way to Oklahoma, that's the longest I've ever probably driven at one point in time. And, you know, we drove all the way. There's different spots. We didn't come attached to Little Rock, Arkansas. I don't know who would get attached to Arkansas, but, you know, we didn't get attached there. We did stay overnight in Little Rock because that was where it was in the pathway. And I think sometimes we get attached to this world. We get attached to the things of the world. But you see, Jesus, he is passing through. He's stopping to do what he needs to do, but he's just passing through. And in his journey, that was his journey. Why did he come? Did he come to you know, make a bunch of possessions. No, he's God. He didn't need that. You know, we're children of God. We don't need the things of this world. So as you're passing through, let's remember to do what God's called us to do. Verse number 2, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. Every time I hear that name, it makes me want to sing that song. You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. So there's some descriptions here. They give him his name. You know what Zacchaeus' name means? It means pure. And, you know, this is a chief of sinners. This guy is ornery. But when I was studying it out, they said that his name meant pure. And, you know, he just got a chuckle at that a little bit. Could you imagine, you know, that mom and dad thought this sweet young baby is pure and innocent, going to live a pure life. And then he ends up selling out to Rome and cheating people with their taxes. And the chief among the publicans in his church. So you say, what's a publican? Most of you know publicans were someone who would go to the Roman government. They would purchase a certain area. It would be their responsibility to go collect taxes from those people. The Roman government was the one that was oppressing the Jews, and they were taxing the Jews. So Jews would go and get the job, and then they would go to their own people, and then they would not only charge them taxes, which we all know taxes are too expensive anyway, they would overcharge him for their taxes. I like to say Zacchaeus is a lot like our politicians today, but you know, that's not all our politicians, but they overtax the people in some ways, and I think there's more taxing that's coming. But at the same time, Zacchaeus is there, so not only has he sold out to Rome, and number two, he steals from his own people. He's not a very well-liked guy. He's not somebody that people are going to be buddy-buddy with. You say, why is that important? The first thing I want you to think about it, Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. He wants to see Jesus. Now, why does he want to see Jesus? Someone's told him about him. Someone has told him about what Jesus can do and his teachings and all these other things. He gets so excited about going and seeing Jesus, he is willing to run in front, jump up, and climb up into a tree just to see him a little bit. That's how popular Jesus is. You say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you, he was a man that was hated by a lot of people, but someone took the time to tell him about Jesus, and when someone took the time to tell him about Jesus, he got excited about it. I enjoy preaching a message that I heard from an old preacher many years ago, and he came up from the mountains of Tennessee, and he talked with, you know, a little bit of an accent, and he preached about why Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. And he talked about how he went to those different houses and how they weren't ready to collect their taxes, but he came back 30 days later, and Jesus had made a difference in all three of their lives. And then when he heard Jesus was coming, he ran. He wanted to see him. There was someone who made him excited about Jesus. Now, how often do we do that? How often do we do that to people we like? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, our friends or our family, then sometimes we do it. And sometimes we might even do it to somebody we don't know. But there's someone that's telling Zacchaeus about Jesus that doesn't like him. And there's not many people that likes publicans. There's someone that's there and saying, hey, look, I know you're a robber. I know that you're a thief. I know that you're a publican. I know you're a sellout. I know you all these things. But guess what? This is what Jesus can do. He can change your life. And we feel comfortable talking to sometimes people in our life that we feel comfortable around, but we need to also reach out to those that God can make a great change in their life. He wants to see him, and he's there. He is a publican. He's rich. He was known as not only as a publican, he was a chief of the publicans. He was despised by the people. He would have lost his right to go into the temple. And most people never would have ever considered that guy could get right. But you think about the reason why Jesus came. Yes, we use the idea of the seek and the save. We're going to get there in verse number 10. But Jesus can change lives. That's the amazing thing, is a person that has turned from darkness to light. The reason why he came to this world was to die for the sins of mankind and to change lives. That's the connection that happens, because what happens when you get saved? You become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You can see the changes in Zacchaeus' life in a minute, and he changes lives. You think about some of the hard cases that Jesus worked with. You think about that maniac that became a missionary, the maniac of Gadara. You think about the woman of the well who had been married 5 times and was working on the 6th one. And that's somebody that needs a life change. You think about the woman that had seven demons. You think about the religious leader Nicodemus. There are so many different people that Jesus was able to change your life because he came and was willing to seek and to save that which was lost. So when you're looking at an individual that you might think may be too far gone or that cannot be saved, you know what? Jesus came to change lives. He came to offer hope where there would be no hope. He came to offer grace where someone that you don't might think deserves that grace. And I want you to understand that it wasn't just Jesus, but even as you go through the book of Acts, you turn around, you see the Philippian jailer that gets right with God and gets saved. You think about Saul of Tarsus, one who would persecute other people, and he got right and got saved. We think about the little girl that had demons in there. You know, all those different things. Jesus has the ability to change people's lives. That's why he came. And as we're talking about Easter, as we celebrate the resurrection, it all can change because the work was finished on the cross and it was exhibited the power of God when he arose from the dead. I mean, praise the Lord for that. He can change lives and we should be excited about that. That was the purpose why he came. He came to change people's lives. Anybody in your life that knows they need to change? I know there's somebody in my life, I need to change some more. Obviously, it's not salvation, but he gives you that hope. But then those that we think are lost, those that we think that are done, those that we think are hard cases, those that we don't think ever is going to be reached, those are the ones we think, no, there's no sense even reaching out. There's no sense even passing out a tract. There's no sense. No. You know, if you go and you look at the stories throughout the Bible, Jesus many times went to those that had great needs. He loved them. He spent more time with sinners than he did the religious leaders. And he made changes in their lives. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Why is that? Someone told him about it. Zacchaeus would have never known about Jesus unless somebody told him. Now, I understand he's a miracle working. He's the Son of God, all those other things. He maybe heard through him through the news, all that other stuff. This guy is excited. He's met someone whose life has been changed. And he's saying, look, this is the change that happened in my life. It can happen in yours too. And that's what people need to see today, is that God has made a change in your life. And if God's made a change in your life, he can do it for you too. And so often we live like the world, we act like the world, that there's no change in our lives. And, you know, why do I want to have anything that you offer? Because you're just like me. You have just as many problems. But the Christ living in us and through us should be something that people in the world see and want to seek. Keep on going. Verse number 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. He wasn't tall. Couldn't see Jesus. So what does he do? And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. So as the story's going on, Zacchaeus is excited. He wants to see Jesus. He's pumped about seeing Jesus. He's seen somebody who has a changed life. That person with a changed life is telling Zacchaeus, you know, God can help you. It doesn't matter how wicked you are, no matter how much wrong you've done, there is a God who can help you. And that's why he wants to see Jesus. Verse number 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him. Now, imagine this picture. There is crowds of people around Jesus because we see he's in chapter number 18. He's there with the blind man. He heals the blind man. We think it's a sister passage with the blind Bartimaeus, which gives the description that he is surrounded by a group of people, a large group of people. And as he's there, you imagine this rich guy that's hated by everybody is sitting up in the tree. I think that would be kind of comical. You look up and you see that he's sitting up there. He's probably all dressed up, probably there showing off all the things he has. And Jesus stops and he looks at him. And look what he says. And he said in verse number 5, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I will abide in thy house. Jesus wants to help those that are seeking him. Jesus wants to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, he's there. He's surrounded by a bunch of people. And I bet you there's some big people in that crowd. I bet you the apostles are all there. I bet you there's some religious leaders there. I bet you there's people that are kind-hearted and all those other things that are there. They're following him in masses. probably any of them would have wanted Jesus to come to his house or their house for dinner. But Jesus doesn't choose to go spend time with just people he's comfortable with. He doesn't go to the mayor of the town's house. He doesn't go to the religious leader's house. He doesn't go to some prominent person's house. What does he do? He's on a journey. Once again, he's passing through. He has work to do. He's focused on what God's given to do. So he's not spending always time around the people that he's comfortable with. He's saying, hey, look, you need to come down. I'm coming to your house today. And look what he says there. He actually says, I must abide at thy house. You know, what do we learn from that? We need to learn to reach out to people. I'm comfortable with some people, a lot of people here. I could probably go and have dinner or have someone over my house, pretty much everybody that's here. We can enjoy and have a good time and enjoy each other's company. But from hearing most of your testimonies, probably everybody here is a Christian on their way to heaven. Maybe not. Maybe you've made a false profession. Maybe you're trusting in good works. But at the same time, I think what you're getting, we understand what I'm saying. I think visitation's important, but we need to learn how to reach out to other people. When there's new people that are here, you know, we should not obviously scare them by everybody coming up to them all at one time. But at the same time, there's somebody that has a need there. There's a changed life. Those are the people that we need to invest our time in also. Yes, we need to train your young people in the back, and we need to train the kids in the back and all those other things. But there must be a time when we're reaching out to people who do not know Christ, people that maybe we'd feel uncomfortable with, people that maybe we wouldn't normally associate with, and say, God made a change in my life. He can make a change in yours. But many times we don't. We're looking for the next fellowship. We're looking for the next time we can hang out. We're looking for all those other things. But there's got to be times when people get reached out to. And you know when that happens? Some people start complaining. Look what the next verses say. It says, and he made haste and came down. So Zacchaeus obeys the Lord. And he received him joyfully. He was excited about the opportunity of him coming to the house. But look what it says in verse number 7. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. They shouldn't have been murmuring about that. They should have been excited about that. Jesus is going to go help somebody. Jesus helped me. And guess what? Maybe Jesus is going to be able to help them also. So here Zacchaeus is there. Zacchaeus needs help. The whole crowd knows Zacchaeus needs help. They all know who he is. They all know that he's a sinner. They all know that he's a publican. They all know that he needs a lot of help. But instead of being excited and started saying, hey, maybe we should hold a prayer meeting that Jesus is going to make a difference in Zacchaeus' life, they start murmuring amongst one another. They start making the accusation that Jesus is, just because he spends time with them, is going to be accepting of their sin. No, Jesus is not accepting of his sin. Jesus is trying to make a change in their life. And sometimes we stay away from people who really, truly need Christ. We keep them at arm's length because we think just because we reach out to them that it means that we're accepting their sin. No. It's not. It's the fact that they need to make a change in their life, and I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to let God use me to develop a relationship. They're not going to be my closest friend in the world, but they're going to know that I care. They're going to see that I'm different because Christ lives in me, and they're going to see that I have something that they need. But many times, we don't even reach out. We look at the Zacchaeus guy, and we say, boy, that person needs a change, but we don't do anything at all to reach out to them. And encourage you. Jesus is here to seek and to save that which is lost. And sometimes people don't understand that. Look what it says in verse number 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. Now, in my mind, there's a break there between 7 and 8. I think Jesus goes to his house. Obviously, he goes to his house because he says, I must abide at thy house. I think they have dinner or they spend some time together. He comes out with this declaration, with this testimony. And as Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, he calls him Lord at that moment in time. The half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, that is not what saved him. Jesus is what saves him. But that is a fruit of a person who's living a changed life. The Bible says you're a new creature. A person who's saved should have a change in their life. They should have birthmarks of a believer. And what they're saying here, he says, look, because of the work that God's done in my life, the change that God's done in my life, I'm going to do what is right now. And look what it says in verse number 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to the house, for as much he is also a son of Abraham. And he's like, there's a son of Abraham. There's someone who was desperately in need of God's help and a change in his life, and that's the reason why he came. And that's what he says in verse number 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Those people in verse number 7 that were murmuring, they missed the whole point that Jesus was there. They were thinking, hey, Jesus could come to my house. He doesn't have to spend time with that sinner. Jesus, come to my house. We could have a great fellowship. We could talk about the Old Testament. We could talk about the prophets. We could talk about all these things. How great would it have been? And Jesus instead says, there's somebody who needs help. There's somebody who is a son of Abraham. There's somebody who's lost and trapped in their sins, and he needs a changed life. That's why he came. And so this coming Easter program is going to be at least talk a little bit about, yes, the whole world has different opinions why Jesus came, but there is a reason why he came, and that he came to seek and to save. He came to help the Zacchaeuses. He came to help save someone like me, and the same testimony that many of you have. Verse number 11, it begins a whole different part of what's going on, and he teaches a parable. It says, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh unto Jerusalem. Now look at this next phrase, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So he comes and he all these things happen, and he says, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And they begin thinking, hey, it's time. The kingdom's coming. He has just told us he was going to save those that was lost, and they're thinking about themselves. And he says, look, the kingdom's going to appear mightily and immediately and all these other things. And disciples are probably there, and they're pumped. They're excited. They think they're going to rule and reign with Jesus. Rome's going to go away, and there's going to crown him. Physically, he's going to get the help they need. But they forget that they didn't know that Jesus came to help them spiritually. The reason why they came wasn't to help them with the physical problems they were having. It wasn't to help deal with the Roman problems. It wasn't there to help deal with the hard issues of life. He came to deal with the most important thing, their spiritual needs. So he teaches them by a parable. Look what it says in verse number 12. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. This is the example that Jesus was getting ready to go. He was going to the far country. He was going back there. But someday he was going to return. Verse 13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. So he calls the servants around him. And he says, look, here's the pounds. Here's the talents I'm going to give you. Now, while I'll go into this far journey, I'm coming back, and when I come back, there's going to be a reckoning. There's going to be a judgment of how you use those things that it gave you. Verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And the amazing thing is, it doesn't matter. It's his kingdom. Same thing with Jesus. There are people out there saying, we don't need to hear the Bible. We don't need to put God in your equation. There's people out there saying, we're not going to have God ruling over us. Christ is not going to reign. Is that going to change anything? Absolutely not. Amen. Not. It's not, you know, whatever the world says today and whatever the world says here, you know what? It's all just a bunch of nonsense. There is a God, and they will be held accountable to God, whether they believe it or not. It doesn't change the fact that he is king and he is ruler and that he will reign supreme someday when he comes back. Amen. So what does that mean to us? Well, what does he tell us in verse number 13? He uses this phrase, occupy till I come. What he's saying here is, hey, now I'm giving you a responsibility. I'm leaving to go to heaven. I'm going to come back someday. Now you got a job to do. You're supposed to work till I come. Occupy gives the idea of a military sense, and you're occupying and you're not going to give any type of territory. But that word occupy there, if you look it up and study, it's talking about working till he comes. We're supposed to stay busy till he comes. We have a purpose in this life. Just as Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, God has given us a purpose also. He even says, even so send I you. He's saying, even as the Father sent me, even so I send to you. Now, if Jesus would have chose to see that mass of people, that group of people, and stop by every town, ate dinner with the mayor or whatever there was back then, and forgot about the Zacchaeuses of the world, he would miss the whole purpose why he came. And now, as believers and as Christians, we got a purpose in this world, and we miss it so often because we focus on so many other things. We want to hang out with the people that are not like Zacchaeus. We want to spend time reaching out to those that we feel comfortable with. And there is ministering, and there is discipling. There is all those things and growing one another in their faith. But the challenge is there is a world full of Zacchaeuses that are hated, that are looked down upon, that need a change in their life. And there's only one person that can offer that change, and that's Jesus Christ. So three things I want you to think about. Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. Jesus wants to seek it to save. But also, Jesus' followers have a job to do. You know, the world needs to see people who live a changed life. They need to see that there was a difference. They need to hear, like the maniac of Gadara. If you read the story, you know, what happens when the when they come back and they see him there and he's sitting in his rightful mind, what do the people tell him to do? Anybody remember? What do the people tell Jesus to do? They tell him to leave. They're afraid. They said, no, we don't want you here. So the man of Gadara gets help, and what does he do? He comes up and he says, hey, can I go with you? And Jesus says, no, go home and tell your family and friends what great things God has done for you. You know, later on, Jesus goes back to the same spot. And you know what happens? There's a multitude of people there waiting for him. Now, why is that? It's because in Gadara, there was a man that God had changed his life, and he went and told the town about it. And the next time Jesus comes, it's recorded in the scriptures, there's people sitting there waiting for him. Why is it? Because someone told the story that, hey, God changed my life. He can change yours too. You think about the woman at the well. She's there. She meets Jesus. Obviously, she's longing for something. And Jesus talks about that water, that spring. And she what does she do? She runs into the town and says to the people that are there, come see a man that told me all the things I've ever done. And what do? They go back and they go see Jesus. Why is that? Because there was a change that happened in this lady's life. And she wanted to go tell the town. And Jesus stays there for a few days because of the change that happened. I want to encourage you, there should be a change that happens in her life. And that's what the world needs to see. It doesn't need to see hypocrisy. It doesn't need to see, oh, yes, we love you, and then we don't treat you like that. The world needs to see that, hey, I'm a believer of Jesus Christ. He can change lives, and he's called me to go out and tell people that he can change lives, and I'm going to live a life that shows that, that represents that, and I'm going to invite people to come to know Christ. Brother Barnhouse last night spoke out of a passage in Isaiah chapter 61. So if you take your Bibles and go there, Isaiah chapter 61 kind of blended together a little bit about what we are looking at tonight, and I thought it was encouraging. You know, why did Jesus come? And this is the passage of scripture later on, Jesus' first sermon, he quotes from. And he says, the scripture is fulfilled. And you see everybody's eyes is on Jesus because they think that this guy's crazy. But look what it says here in Isaiah chapter 61. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. He's saying there is a change that he has been called to do. He is there, and these are the responsibilities that are there for him. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Brother Barnhouse focused on verse number 3, and I thought it was really talks about the change that happens in someone's life. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Now look at this. To give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So there is a life here in Zacchaeus that's filled with ashes. He has pretty much sold himself short, been sold out for the government. He has robbed and cheated people, but he meets Jesus. There's a change in his life. He takes that those ashes and changes it in for something that's beautiful. He takes a life that is something that is people are mourning over. I'm sure his parents are disappointed. And it becomes a life of joy. It takes a garment of a praise for the spirit of heaviness. There is a change that happens. And we see people in this world that are lost and that are dying and they need so much help. They have made ashes of their life. But he can make something beautiful out of it. I don't know where you're at in your life right now. But take the life that he's given you and live to help change people's lives. We can do a lot of things in this world. We become busy doing a lot of things. But we miss the purpose of what we're passing through to do. Jesus just passed through Jericho. But it wasn't just that Bartimaeus was sitting there by surprise. Jesus knew it. He stood still. He listened as Bartimaeus cried out to him. It wasn't the fact that Zacchaeus just randomly jumped up in that tree. No, someone had told the despised person, the person that no one liked, about Jesus and the change that happened in their life and the change that can happen in Zacchaeus' life. And Zacchaeus wanted that. Zacchaeus needed that. Zacchaeus had sold his life short. He was probably miserable. Yes, he was rich, but he was the chief among the publicans. And why did he run to see Jesus? He ran to see Jesus because there was a need that was in his life that only Jesus can make. He had ashes for a life. But you see him coming out of that house saying, hey, I'll pay back anybody I stole from fourfold. A half my goods I give to the poor. I don't care about anything else because God has made my life something that's beautiful. And we see testimonies of that. When you see someone who's living for the Lord and loving God, you see the change that can happen. You say, Pastor, I don't see it much anymore. Are you reaching out to those that God can make a difference in? We must walk by the Zacchaeuses of this world many times and say, someone, they need to change. Somebody should be praying for them. And they should. It should be us. So while we consider Easter, and I know it's not around Easter, he is headed to the cross here. But before we start talking about things leading up to the cross and the resurrection and things like that, I wanted to remind you once again why he came. That's why he came, to seek and to save that which is lost. And you think about the change he made in your life. I know what he's done in my heart. He asked me how I know he lives. I know because he lives in me. I know what he's done in my life. I know what I used to be. I can imagine what I would be without him, but I'm thankful for the change he's made. And I took a life that was messed up, and he's made it into something that's beautiful. As long as I give my life over to him. It's amazing what God can do. And there is a whole book full of stories that God's made a change in people's lives. You think about the Matthews that was the tax guy and all those other things, the difference he made in Daniel and Joseph, you know, those lives that looked like they were full of ashes, but it turned out to be something beautiful. Think about the change that God can make in someone's life. Think about the change he's made in your life. Now, why are you here? We all understand why he came. He came to seek and to save that which lost. He came to die for the sins of mankind. You say, well, I don't have to do that. You don't. But as he's leaving, what does he tell you to do? He tells you to go out and preach the gospel. As he's leaving, he tells you to go into all the world. What does he do? He tells you to reach out to those Zacchaeuses and let God make the change in their life, the change that only God can make. How did Zacchaeus know? Someone with a changed life had to tell him. That's why he was running, just to get a glimpse of him. If we tell somebody about the change God's made in our lives, maybe they also will begin to seek after him too. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. I'm humbled when I see the example that you give about seeking and saving them that are lost. Humble, number one, because you came to save me. I didn't deserve it. It was only by your grace. Zacchaeus did not deserve it. His life was miserable. His life, he was a thief. He may have been rich, but it was despised by many. Lord, it was grace that you looked up in that tree and said, hey, I want to go spend some time with you. Because you came to seek and to save him. You came to seek and save us. Lord, I'm also humbled in the fact that I want to do more of what you've called us to do. I don't want to live my life just passing through and getting attached to the things of this world more than the calling of God. I pray you speak to the people's hearts here tonight. Lord, there's nothing wrong with fellowship, nothing wrong with friendship. But Lord, there's something wrong when we don't reach out to those that do not know you. Something wrong when we look down upon others instead of saying, let me tell you the change that Jesus has made in my life. Lord, there's something wrong when we see people's lives that are charred by sin, that are filled with ashes, and don't see them as someone that can become something beautiful through the change that you make in someone's life. But instead, we turn up our noses at the mess they've made of their own life, forgetting if not for the grace of God, we could be in the exact same situations. Thank you, Lord, for the grace and mercy that you extend, the salvation that's offered to mankind. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be part of a family, a church family that loves you and believes in you. So many people do not have that. Have the Word of God in our hands, knowing that we can pray. There's many millions that have never even heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Lord, help us to desire to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank you for doing what you were sent to do. Help us to do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand to your feet with heads